Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here today, that we are free to worship you, that we are free to meet together to praise your name. I pray that you speak through me today, that you open our hearts to hear from your word. And if you need to do something totally different, I'm all yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I hope everybody had a fun, happy 4th of July. We celebrated Independence Day. We kind of talked a minute ago about how, you know, how each of us did it. Some of us watched fireworks on TV. But, it's a lot to, may not be quite as spectacular, but it's sure nice not to be in the middle of the crowds and the long lines and the parking challenges. Well, Linda and I did that one year. It was a lot of fun, but boy, it sure was a challenge to get home. But we had parades, and we had cookouts, and we had fireworks as we celebrated the independence, the day that we declared our independence from Great Britain. But that freedom cost us something. It cost many people their lives. It cost many people their property. With freedom comes responsibility. For us, here in this country, that we have a responsibility to protect that freedom.
That's right.
For some of us, that might mean literally, as members of our military have done, going out onto the battlefield. We have a responsibility to preserve it. For most of us, at a minimum, it should mean that we carefully consider when it's time to go to the polls and vote for our leaders, who it is that we're voting for, and whether what they are proposing is truly good for the country. Not voting selfishly, but voting for the good of all. We have a responsibility to use our freedom wisely.
True.
No one has unlimited freedom. The common quote that people say is that your freedom ends at the end of my nose. You can do anything you want, but you can't be involved. If you're out in the country, you might have the right to shoot off fireworks. A lot of times the cities will prevent that. But you still don't have the right to shoot them at your obnoxious neighbor's house.
Amen.
We have freedom, but it's limited. We don't have the freedom to do absolutely anything we want in doing things that might hurt other people. We don't have the freedom to take away somebody else's freedom.
Amen.
It took us a few years more to learn that, unfortunately, in our country. But the seeds were there. You hear much now made of what was called the Three-Fifths Compromise. And it's not a good thing. But it's also misunderstood what that was. It was because, you know, the South, many of the South, Southern states owned slaves. And it wasn't that the people, in fact, a lot of people wanted to abolish it right then. But they had to come to some kind of compromise where they could form a nation. And, of course, the South wants to represent their people. In fact, they're kind of doing something a little bit hypocritical here. They're saying, well, we want all these slaves represented, and yet we're not going to call them, not going to give them full rights. They want to be, so they want all the people counted. Of course, the North doesn't want all those people counted because that means they are overrepresented by people who can't vote. And so they came up with this compromise. The South was trying to have it both ways. And not all the slaves were one color. Not all the slave owners were one color. That's something for another time. But we had to eventually fight a civil war to finally get that right.
Amen.
And then it actually took us 100 more years to really start getting it right when the civil rights movement came along and we finally started putting things right that had been wrong all that time. We also made some mistakes that are now hurting the very people we want to help. Again, that's another topic for another day. But we have freedom also that is given to us in Christ. We are freed from the power and the rule of sin. Our old self was crucified with Him. No longer are we slaves to sin. Romans 6:6 tells us that. A few verses later in 14 it says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law but under grace." We are free from the restrictions of the law and from its curse, which comes from the failure to be able to keep it. So Romans chapter 8 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verses 1 and 2. But this freedom also comes with responsibility. We have a responsibility, once we have become His, to choose the things that make for life and not return to our old master.
Right.
We have a responsibility not to abuse the freedom that we have in a way that causes harm to those around us. In particular, for those of us who have been around a while, for the younger believers who may not be at the same spot, or the less mature believers who may not be in the same place in their faith as we are. Last week, we talked a little bit about how Paul addresses some of the concerns that were relevant to his culture and the people that he was writing to. And it involved, for them, it involved certain foods. Whether you're eating something that might be sacrificed to an idol, or whether you might be eating something that is not kosher, because they didn't conform to the laws in the way that it was prepared. And so some people just didn't eat it. Or it might have had to do also with the observance of special days. But he gives these instructions not to judge one another over these matters. To be convinced in our own minds what is right before God.
Amen.
And these principles, though we might not have quite the same list of cultural do's and don'ts, things that are a little different than they were then. Not too many people are doing any kind of actual idol sacrifice, although we certainly have some things going on that amount to the same thing. But these principles are applicable to our own. The truth remains true, but don't use that truth as a weapon to destroy your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all accountable individually before God. And that's where we're going to pick up for our passage today. We'll be in Romans chapter 14. We read the first 12 verses last week. We'll pick up now in verse 13. "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who walks in serves Christ in this, For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. For it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have in your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. And we've got that therefore that starts this out. Of course, we read the first 12 verses earlier. That's what this is referring to. And he's saying, because judgment of a believer is God's business.
Amen.
This is the way we need to live. We ought not to be involved in critiquing each other and judging each other over things that are not important.
Right.
We should always, we've got to confront sin. We talked about that last week. It is right. In fact, it is not loving if you don't confront sin. But some things are not that important. And in those things, we need to be okay with allowing people to live in the way that that their conscience tells them that they need to live. And rather, be considerate and be protective of one another's conscience. Avoid stumbling blocks. Avoid, in other words, anything that would cause them to compromise their beliefs. Now, he writes here concerning food because that was the issue at hand, but it could include anything. But he says nothing is unclean of itself. And Jesus made that clear in Mark chapter 7 as he's talking to the disciples. He says anything that goes in comes out, to put it simply. That's not what defiles you. What defiles you is in your heart. And it says there, as part of that couple of verses there, 7, 18, and 19, that by so saying, he made all things clean.
Amen.
And then, of course, we have the well-known passage in Acts chapter 10, where he brings down the sheet with all the critters in it. But that has more to do, it does reinforce the fact, but it has more to do with God's acceptance of the Gentiles than it has to do with diet. But he says it is unclean for the one who thinks it is unclean. Now, that might give somebody pause. If you believe, you might even come up with that and say, well, look here. Does this not support the idea of relative truth? Because, well, here, this is true for me and not true for you. No, that's not what that is. Because we've already established what's true. What's true is that all things are clean. But this is not, this is a matter of the heart. And that's always where it is. If we choose to do something that we think is wrong, then we are in rebellion, regardless of whether it's actually wrong or not. I'll give you an example from my own life. When I was, 10, 11, somewhere in there, my mom and dad were running off to do some real quick errand. And I had my friend there in the front yard, and I asked if I could go with my friend. And I thought I heard him say no. But when they left, we went anyway. And then when we got back, mom and dad were already home.
Uh-oh.
And I did not want to go anywhere, didn't want to go in the house. He's going to get me when I go in there. I was just so upset, made my friends real uncomfortable. But you see what happened there. I created the separation.
Mm-hmm.
There was no separation there. My dad was very gracious about the whole thing. Didn't get on to me even for doing what I thought was wrong. Because he hadn't told me it was wrong. He said I could go. But you see what happened there. Because I thought that I had done the wrong thing, I created a separation between me and my dad.
Right.
And that's what we do. Whether it is wrong or it isn't wrong, we think it's wrong and we do it, we create that separation between us and God.
Exactly.
And we don't want to be responsible for drawing someone else into that situation. But he says, in effect, in verse 15, put love first. If you're exercising your freedom in a way that harms somebody else, you're not walking in love. And he says, don't destroy each other. I'm going to put it this way. In this case, it's food. For us, it might be something entirely different. I could list things, but as I was working through this, I thought, if you start listing things, it might be helpful for people, but if it's things that people in the congregation are doing, they might feel like you're judging them for something that they're doing. And I don't want to do that, because that's not the point. But we know, we've been steeped in Christian culture long enough to know what those areas are where we might be causing offense. And we want to think about what we're doing. But don't, he says, don't destroy somebody for the sake of what is essentially something, a trivial indulgence. Just because you want it, it's all right for you. That food could be anything. Could be in some cases alcohol. Could be in other cases entertainment. Could be things that we put on Facebook and I pointed myself. But that's really selfishness. And selfishness is the opposite of love. Life is precious and worth any sacrifice that we might make to preserve it. Just ask Jesus. So that's what he did.
Amen.
Our conduct then, it says, don't let something that's for you be good be spoken of as evil. And it doesn't mean there to defend what you're doing and call somebody out for calling it wrong. What it does mean is that don't cause the thing that is good for you, that is a freedom, don't use it in an evil way so that people could say that of you.
Amen.
God's kingdom is not built on these rules, on the things that we do and don't do. God's kingdom is found in walking with the Holy Spirit, in righteousness, that is, right standing with God. And even that we can't establish on our own. It's given to us by Jesus' blood. Peace, a peace that comes from within, that also comes through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "My peace I give to you." And a joy of a kind that only God's children can know. When we serve Him in this way, in other words, putting others' needs ahead of our own desires, being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do.
Amen.
That's pleasing to God. Because He shows that kind of love and grace to us.
Amen.
And He desires that we walk that closely with Him, loving what He loves. He loves people.
Amen.
And He says down in 19, we pursue those things that make for peace. I think we miss that word, or we don't think about the implications of that word pursue. In other words, you don't just prefer it, you go after it.
Mm-hmm.
You take an active role in seeking out those things that make for peace. We actively discourage those things that would potentially cause division unnecessarily. We choose what is good for others over what we want. Even if it's something that's perfectly all right, that's not the point. But we're also pursuing the building up of each other, the encouragement of each other. And you know what happens? As you encourage each other, especially those who've been in the faith longer, maybe have a more mature perspective on it, as you teach and as you encourage those who are coming behind you or maybe looking up to you, what you're going to find is eventually those differences will disappear. And Paul kind of recaps what he's been saying there, and really it goes into 15 and becomes also a discussion of unity, I think, between Jew and Gentile. But we don't have time to go into all that. But he says, don't destroy God's work for your own gratification. All things, all foods are clean, he says. That could also be extended to many of the things that we do in our day-to-day life. There's nothing wrong with it. But it becomes evil if it does harm. And he said it's good not to do anything that might cause somebody else to stumble. And how is it that it would cause somebody else to stumble? Because they're looking at you. They're watching you. And if you do something, which really is nothing wrong with it, but if you're involved in something and it's something that they think is wrong, then they are encouraged by seeing, well, he's doing it. I don't think it's right, but he's doing it. It must be all right. And so then they've fallen into sin because they're copying something that you're doing. Happy is he who does not condemn himself by what he approves. If we stay true, then he goes to the next thing. We stay true to our own conscience. Then your conscience will be clear. Then he also provides this warning. If you have any doubt about something that you're doing, and you do it anyway, he says you've fallen into sin because whatever is not from faith is sin. So just as, you know, I'm sure you've heard people say, when in doubt, don't. But see, we turn that around. I know I certainly have in my life. Well, I think, well, it might be right. It might be all right to do it. And I want to do it, so I'm just going to do it. But if we are devoted to serving the Lord, if we really want to please Him, if we have a question about something, we ought to go the other way. Well, I don't want to offend you. I'm not sure if that's all right or not. So I'm not going to do it until you tell me it's really all right. That's the way we ought to respond.
Amen.
We are constantly presented with choices. And in general, they involve, well, what are you going to do? And they might involve, what are you going to consume? They might involve, what are you going to say? What's going to come out of your mouth? But we ought to ask ourselves, first of all, is it right? But then, second of all, how's it going to affect my family? How's it going to affect the people that I love? How's it going to affect the people who are watching me? And those answers are going to vary. The specifics are going to vary from person to person. The people who you know, the people who are looking up to you, the people that you've had conversations with. And I'm not trying to, what I don't want to do here is create another form of bondage where, well, you can't do anything that somebody might think is wrong. You can't please everyone. It's just a fact. We cannot be imprisoned by the expectations of others. We truly are free. But this means we're also free to practice restraint. We give up a little bit of freedom for the sake of the other. Consider Jesus. God of the universe, in charge of all He surveys, the Word that spoke creation into existence,
amen,
gave up all of that and came down here to be one of us. There's not any words to describe that. But He did that for us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I said I'm not going to point out things. Well, what I'm going to do is point out things in my own life. That's about the only way I can do this safely. Things that I think about. Especially now that I call myself pastor, I think about these things. And I'm aware that I've got to hold myself to a higher standard. Not because I'm any more holy than anybody else, but because people are watching.
Amen.
So I've got to consider, at least at some level, all the traditions, all the things that I might encounter within the church to be aware of. And I do happen to be among Baptists, so that factors in. I know for me, one of the things that I have to watch and I have become very conscious of is what I post on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, I haven't done anything wrong, but I'll give you an example. If you go back through my posts of somewhere, I don't know where it is, but somewhere you'll find a picture that I took of my coworkers while we were in a bar with them sitting there with drinks in front of them. And it didn't even cross my mind when I did it. I was just having fun. I didn't drink anything, not because I'm so great, just because I think it all tastes awful. But it would have been, you know, in my way of thinking, it would have been perfectly all right to have a little something, as long as you don't overindulge. But because of my position, that was not a good thing to do. Because somebody who's struggling with that, or somebody who believes it's wrong to do that, might see that and go, well, pastor's doing it, I guess it's all right. But they haven't been convinced in their own mind through their own study. And what they learned from the Holy Spirit, they haven't come to that conclusion. And so I've created a problem potentially. I don't think I know anybody for whom that was a problem, but you know, those are the things that we think about in our day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I have a tendency to share things sometimes that might offend certain people. And I've tried to be real careful and watch that more than I used to. Probably still occasionally make a mistake, but I'm learning.
Amen.
Another thing that I have, that I really watch and that everybody really needs to watch is conduct around people of the opposite sex. Now, all of that has to be balanced with the ministry needs that are real. But there is a need for me to send a consistent message. This is how you do this. And you don't put yourself in positions that could possibly be compromising. Because people are watching. And so you want to avoid doing things that might cause somebody to stumble or go in and get in the same situation themselves and maybe have a different outcome. So the objective here is not to tell anybody what to do. That's not what this is about today. I'm not here to tell you what to do and what not to do in your own life. In fact, the whole point is most things you do, I have no business, no right to judge you for. But to remind us all that we have a greater responsibility to love and to protect and to care for each other. And to make sure that nothing we do leads somebody in the wrong direction.
Right.
Sometimes that might mean we give up something that we enjoy that's perfectly all right because there's a greater good to be achieved.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we do have freedom in you, that you have made a way, that you took away all of those things. Of course, we went and set about immediately adding them back on, and every church has got its own set of things that you do and don't do. We were very quick to put all those rules back that we could think of, but I am thankful to you that you have made a way, and that you are so gracious to us. Lord, may we go forth from here and show to others, those who know you and those who don't know you yet, that same kind of grace that you showed to us. In Jesus' name, amen.